from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What did I do wrong? Don't be disrespectful.
This is Tim Roy, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Hey, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament. It benefits the Autism Society of the San Francisco Bay Area. Here's all you have to do is go to 957thegame.com to learn more. It's presented by Atco Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. That is the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tourney. It's Friday, September 6th. Go to 957thegame.com to find out more and to register.
Speaking of Atco, we got What's Bugging You with the guys later on.
Yes, we do. We have What's Bugging You.
Or Who's Bugging You.
That'll be coming up at 2 o'clock with Willard and FP Santangelo. We'll be here with them doing the crossover. That should be fun. So, I don't know if we want to talk about this. I don't know.
That's not our show. We talk about everything. What do you mean?
Well, there's a piece of news that came over today that, okay, I'll just pass it along and I'll just let it go. So Andrew Wiggins of the Warriors was scheduled to go to China.
Yep.
And apparently it was for some kind of an appearance. Not quite sure exactly why he was going, but it was something that was planned.
Yeah.
And he was going to make some appearances over there, et cetera. And he canceled it because of a family emergency. So he was supposed to leave either yesterday or today. And his guy who represents him took to social media and said they're very disappointed, but they're not going to be going to China because Andrew Wiggins has a family emergency. And
again, like Scotty, if I'm correct, no, it's again real, but I'm not being selfish, and I hope whatever he's dealing with works out, but you just wonder, you know,
yes,
was he past this, and now, you know, had this been the season, he definitely would be, you know, tending to his family, and I get it, but it's just, you feel bad, but I guess, Donnie, you know, when things happen and some have to go away and tend to it,
right?
You know, you get closure.
Yeah.
And it looks like this is not closed, and you just wonder, you know, and nothing is more important than ball. I mean, family's more important than ball, but you kind of not selfishly wonder, like, man, what if this were to pop off during the season again? He's still preoccupied or dealing with something. So hopefully it gets, you know, he can get the closure and resolve for his family. But, man, it's got to be somebody not doing well, right?
I have no idea. And this is part of the reason why there's speculation, probably, or people are wondering, is because we don't know anything.
You're right.
But the first thing I thought about is maybe whatever's going on isn't over.
Well, that's just obvious.
It's just not over. And I don't know. We have no idea whether the first absence, which was extended, and the second absence, which I think was 3 or 4 games, or this absence, we have no idea if they're related, if they're separate. I get it. It's none of our business on one level. But I just thought it was worth passing along to Warrior fans and just putting it out there. Andrew Wiggins canceled the trip to China that he had because of a family emergency.
Wow.
And it will have been the third time that something like this has come up in the last 2 or 3 years. And you know what? We'll take the right route and we'll say we hope everything's all right with
thoughts and prayers
with Andrew Wiggins' but family.
Let me just add this one before we put it to rest.
Sure.
This is the first time we've seen anybody in this camp do a video because we watched it together, you know, explaining his whereabouts.
Yeah.
And what he was dealing with.
And he just, the gentleman shared just everything that I shared with you about why he's not there. And the reason he's not there is because there's a family emergency. So he's not going to go to China. He also did not play in the Olympics for the Team Canada, whatever that means.
Gotcha.
So there you go. We got the Giants and the A's in the Bay Bridge Series. It starts tomorrow. And yesterday, Goo, we talked a lot about the Giants. And you brought up one player that everybody's interested in, and that's Marco Luciano. And Will Clark was on with Willard and FP yesterday. And he addressed Marco Luciano because he's an important player for the Giants. He's a very talked about player. Let's take a listen to what Will Clark said about Marco Luciano and what's going on with the Giants.
You know, if you look at history, he's had kind of an injury-filled career. He really had played a full year. And so he needs to play every day. And, you know, coming up to the major leagues and, you know, sitting, playing, and then also just basically being a DH. That wasn't, you know, kind of what kind of player he is. So he needs to play every day. And kind of what I was saying with Eldridge. I mean, you know, he needs to play every day and play a full season and learn how to get through a full season without getting hurt.
That was with Bonte and Shasky this morning.
Okay, gotcha.
Bonte and Shasky.
Yeah, the morning roast.
Question is, where's he getting those at bats?
Well, I'll tell you
which
this.
Place?
To tell me what you give me a penny for my thoughts.
Sure.
I guess if that's what he needs to do to figure it out, I don't think Will Clark is happy that he's going back to Sacramento. Like if you called him up and you made the trade, why are you jerking him around?
I don't think anybody's happy he's going back to Sacramento. I think it's fair though to ask some questions about how this player may have been handled or may have not been handled.
He said he needs to learn how to get through a season. That's just the health component of it all.
Right.
And he needs to play every day. And it's funny he brought up Eldridge, who Shasky loves, and we all love watching him hit. But, yeah, Steiny, if it means anything, I think the handling of Luciano, especially this last tour, I think that's foul as all out. Like that's not a good look for Farhan.
Yeah, I have trouble for as far as Luciano is concerned, just because he's not a Farhan guy, I just don't blame him as much as maybe you do. And I get it. He was drafted and then Farhan came, so he's still on Farhan's watch to some extent. But if they don't think the kid can play, then they don't think the kid can play.
And I guess that's where the conversation jumps off at. Steiny, we're not seeing much of him. If at all, any. And I get what your premise, he's not a Farhan guy, but dog it, all we want to do and all they should want to do is see him get the Casey Schmidt scholarship. And Schmidt's gotten four, I can count three or four or five of them. Like, let the kid play. Let him fail. That's what you've done with Schmidt. And this last one was so quick, Stoddy. It's like, my goodness, what are we doing? Because Farhan, you're the one that went out and said the reason Soler is not here, part of it, or a majority of it, was because you wanted to get Luciano at bats, and every day he was not in the line pretty much. Like, that doesn't add up.
You know what? And fans can weigh in on this or not, but and something else happened. Oh, I'm going to use two examples. Okay, so Bob Melvin and Farhan said, you know, one of the reasons they traded Soler was to get Luciano at bats.
Yes.
And then I remember once Steve Kerr saying, you know, we told Moses Moody before the game he wasn't going to play. He was out of the rotation. We ended up using him anyway.
And remember that. And yeah. He balled out that night in sack.
What's a big deal? Maybe somebody just changed their mind. You know what I mean? Like, maybe just they rethought their decision. Like, does it have to be more than that? You know, going to get Luciano some at-bats, got him some at-bats, and like, you know what? No, we're not giving him more at-bats, come to think of it, for whatever reason. Like, I don't know. Is that a big deal?
Every time I watch the youngster that just hit a home run yesterday that got called up and came out of nowhere, all I think about is Luciano. Like, what do you owe him and the fans to find out what he is, Donnie? What do you, like, telling me they changed their mind without actually seeing him do it, then why was he even called up in the first place? Why was Soler traded if it was all, a lot of that energy was about seeing what you had with Luciano? So for you to say, and you didn't say it, Farhan's driving across the Bay Bridge and all of a sudden says, you know what? I don't want to see him bat. I mean,
maybe.
But how does that give you clarity on what Luciano is? And to Will Clark's point, for him to be the best version of himself, he needs almost, not a commitment, Stoney, but he needs to play every day. Not sitting in there and you're running him out there.
What if he's got an attitude problem? What if he doesn't have the best demeanor?
Don't you think? Hey, I'm not saying.
No, I don't think it would have come out.
Well, why would Farhan say that when they traded Soler then?
Because maybe they were
going to. He could have said anything he wanted. He didn't have to bring up Luciano.
Because maybe at that point they were like, let's give this kid another chance. Let's give him another chance. And maybe they didn't like the way he was handling that chance.
Wow, man.
I mean, look, I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm just trying to figure out why they would say, on the one hand, he's going to get at-bats, and then the next thing you know, he doesn't.
Well, I'll throw Ramos in there. Stoney, I'm not saying, again, he was Eric Davis, Eric the Red, but, you know, he got what I think it's fair to say, you know, jerked around in regard to him having some success and then them pulling the plug, sending them back, bringing them up. So we can't just keep using, and I'm not saying you're doing it, an attitude problem on all of them. And Ramos was the one of the bunch that took advantage of his situation and forced him, you know, to put him in the lineup. And he turned that into an all-star berth. But I guess, Donnie, the last thing on my bingo card in regard to Luciano, and I don't know how good he is, I just know my eyes are not tired of watching him. And these guys, if you're listening, no shade at you, like I am of Yaz, like I am of Lamont Wade Jr., like I am of watching damn near all the Giants bat. Like, okay, I don't feel that way with Luciano. Give me more.
Well, it's only because you haven't seen him. The Giants have seen him a lot. And, you know, you brought up something.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Interesting. Where, and the Evan will jump in here too. Let's say you have Casey Schmidt.
Oh, my gosh.
Who can field but can't hit. And you've got Luciano who can hit but can't field. Who deserves to play if the position is shortstop?
Well, I would go with defense all day.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but now that's not on the table because you got Fitz doing his thing.
That's right. And so now he's just a DH. So he's a young player who doesn't have a position in the field. And
he
now,
hasn't had the chance. I guess, Donnie, I'll cut you off.
He has had the chance
at
shortstop.
Not as much as Casey Schmidt. That was Spadoni's. Casey Schmidt.
He was,
but
right.
He can be a DH.
That right. But he can, can I ask a question? How old is Luciano?
22.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
How many, and Evan, just give me some context here. How many 22-year-old prospects or young professionals don't play a position?
The only guy that I can think of that would be comparable to this situation, and they found him a position just because he had to be on the field, was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, his bat makes him impossible to take out of the lineup to the point where you will just suffer at first base because he's that good at hitting.
And Stoddy, that's a great point, but can
there
I also just double back and say,
there it is,
you are at fault, the team, for him, his position, whatever's going on there, because you didn't take advantage, you didn't take care of that early.
Well, this is where I say they didn't draft, Farhan did not draft this guy. He didn't draft this guy as a shortstop.
But the scouts, it's not just Farhan, it's the reports on how Steiny doing. What
right.
do we got going?
He's not doing well at short.
Well,
can't find a position for this guy.
Then he should have never came up and been inserted into shortstop on that trip early on in the season to Pittsburgh and New York where he hadn't recovered from that.
If he would have never played shortstop at all, you would absolutely need to see him at shortstop right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And be excited about it.
Right. So that's the point. We saw him at shortstop. He was such a disaster that I have no idea if he can ever hit well enough to just be a DH
and
for
I
his
think
career.
That's what Will Clark was saying. The only way to get the benefits, Donnie, is with the stick right now, but you got to let him get some ABs.
Yeah. It's kind of Wiseman all over again. I can't,
if he's Wiseman, what is Schmidt then?
Schmidt's a competent
fielder.
They can't
shake him.
He's a...
Okay. All right, so you're saying he's out there for his glove.
I mean, if we look back at James Wiseman and who was the guy? It was Jeremy Lamb. Was it? No. Who was that guy they played? It was a kid from Virginia and the other guy. Lamb, right?
Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb.
Anthony Lamb. Yeah. Anthony Lamb. Everybody wanted Wiseman over Lamb. Lamb was a better player. Wiseman still is not as good as Lamb.
Yeah.
So after watching something like that, I got to leave open the door of possibility that Luciano might not be able to play in the field.
Okay, I'll say
and
this.
He might not be
Luciano
good enough
over Schmidt and his glove any day. where Luciano is in the middle right now, I'll take him and his bat, Steiny. It's his bat more than Casey Schmidt and his glove. That's just me.
You can't play Luciano at shortstop.
Oh, no, and I understand
that. Okay, so where does he play?
I could stash him at DH.
Well, that's the point.
If his bat is supposed to be special or he's supposed to – I would rather roll the dice and give him some ABs and not hurt myself in the field.
He might not be good enough to be a DH.
But my point is, let's find out with the bat.
And I'm telling you that
with the DH.
What if they know? What if they're like, this guy can't DH?
He's not good enough. You could be
He's just like Wiseman.
So why? And I get you. So Farhan put his foot in his mouth when he said that the day Soler got traded. Like, he could have said anything or even left Luciano out of it. He said part of the reason that was done is we want to see Luciano, who got all of about Steiny on the Guru calculator, 7 at bats after that.
Sometimes you only need enough to see a little. I don't know. I would bet right now that Luciano's
even at the
not going to be a great player. Mm. And the other thing is, if you're just this is not on Farhan. How are you 22 years old and you don't have a position? You can't play in the field.
Or how are you on a major league ball club that thinks you have a position and they don't? That's negligence on their part that they don't know that you can't play shortstop.
What's that? Well, that's one
thing. That's on both of them.
Well, one thing we know is he can't play shortstop.
Right, but I think they should have known this before the season even started, Steiny.
Well, you think? Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
And that's why I just bring up Farhan then. You've been overseeing the team for umpteen years. You guys should know.
Well, I think sometimes you do something to show fans what they need to see. And to me, the first time they brought Luciano up at shortstop, you cannot tell me that they didn't know it might not go well.
Oh, man.
So, it's easy to me to explain, and this is where sometimes I do think fans have an impact. If Farhan Zaidi is getting heat for not bringing up Luciano and for forgetting about Luciano, but Farhan Zaidi knows he's not ready, sometimes you just put a guy out there to let everybody see that he can't play shortstop. Like, that much, like, of all the things we know about Luciano, to me, that's the one thing we absolutely positively know. He can't play short.
Well, I say this. When Brandon Crawford was gone, and I brought this up to you, Willard and Dibbs, I said, why is Luciano not the opening day shortstop for the San Francisco Giants? And then what happened? Nick Ahmed, out of nowhere, they went with the veteran. So maybe that was an indication right then, Steiny, that he was so far from being or being polished with the glove. But I'll do the baseball version of a kid graduating high school not knowing how to read. That's on both parties, but I almost want to put it more on the institution for giving this guy or gal a certificate, and they can't even read. So how can this dude trick anybody, Steiny? Well, I think Farhan and the Giants and the scouting department looks worse. If you're telling me they already knew, we'll just show everybody he can't field. Like, get your ass in another position. Let's do that while you're down here in the minors. And they didn't even do that.
I know.
But from all that I hear, Steiny, and he can run, and he looks sleek and good. I mean, I'm not ready to say he can't hit.
Well, I'm not ready to say he can. You know what I mean? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just wondering kind of what's going on. And the other thing is, the Giants, they value defense. That's one of the reasons Schmidt's playing.
Yeah.
I think.
And I ain't hating on Schmidt. He's getting run. He'll go back. You won't hear from him, but he's back. And maybe you're right. It's for the glove, but Steiny, you got a DH, and you're not getting much from the DH all year long if you're the Giants. I mean, man, to run that kid out there and let Luciano go up there and know, you know what, this is going to be mine for about 30 days. Let's see what I do. I don't know what that could hurt.
Here's Dave Fleming with more on Marco Luciano and them needing to figure out where he can play.
can't have a 22-year-old be a DH. Like, that, it limits his future so much. Mm. And whether there's blame to be assigned for waiting this long to decide that he's not a shortstop, I think the optimistic view is that, hey, look, the guy's always been a shortstop. Every game he played as a from the time he was 4 years old till the time 2 months ago was he was a shortstop. He's a developing player. We're giving him a chance in his comfort zone to stay there to let the bat develop. I mean, that's the positive outlook, and I don't totally disagree with that. Now, if you've decided he isn't a shortstop all over again, because I don't think the second base experiment was going all that well down there. Maybe that's where he sticks. Maybe he's a corner outfielder, but that's going to be an off-season project. Like, so now you're going to go down to Scottsdale in October and start, you know, repping him out in left field or whatever. And it's like, man, it's a lot of setbacks for a guy who you were hoping by now would be a big impact guy for this franchise.
Mm. That, love the word, Stani, setback. And Flynn, I don't think, I mean, he was bringing it, Stani. He didn't go Roger Clemens on, you know, October is when you're going to start this project. I guess if you were doing your job and the scouts knew Stani can't play short, maybe that project could have started last year, last offseason, and where would Luciano be this year? Maybe he might be able to play the outfield.
I mean, what I also heard Fleming say is, okay, Farhan takes over this team, and Luciano's in the minor leagues, and he's a shortstop. And they don't think anything of it. Why? Because he's always been a shortstop. And then he plays a couple years at shortstop, and they're like, man, he's got a lot of improving to do.
Yeah.
And then maybe he does improve a little bit at shortstop. And then they bring him up, and they saw what they saw early, and now they're thinking, should we give up on him at shortstop? Like, do we even know if they've given up on him at shortstop?
Well, his ass ain't been out at shortstop in forever.
Right. But maybe they're going to try to work with him at shortstop in the offseason so he has a position next year. I understand on the one hand, if the kid's played shortstop his whole life, I mean, the first couple years he's in your system, don't you have to try to get him to be a shortstop? And maybe you don't give up on that right away. But maybe they waited too long to give up on it. I don't know.
But to Flynn's other points, Donnie, I would just say to him, if you were right here, I know he's 22 and you want to find him a position, but I feel like the fact that now, I got to be careful. I'm not saying hitting is more important than defense. I'm not. But, Stani, there is a DH.
Not a
to where
stop.
No, I'm just talking about the bat. Let's just say he didn't find a position. He couldn't field. He could be the next Soler. Is it so bad that he's 22, but he's a... Oh, we got to go.
Is it so bad that he's 22?
And he can play DH.
Well, I don't think he's got the power Soler's got. Do we... Maybe... Yeah, I don't know. 888-957-9570 is the number. Bay Bridge Series starts tomorrow. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I owe Curry nothing. Here's why you're beautiful, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
I'm feeling good.
Now, back to Stani and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I get money. Yeah, I love New York!
Only you,
hey,
would interrupt a guy who is about to tell you why you're beautiful.
Time for the legal. What am I missing?
The intro back into the show. I said, Goo, I love you, and I'll tell you why. And you started talking about,
I'm blown
know,
away over here. I just saw Steph Curry's debut acting on Peacock. I don't know what show, and I'm putting it out to the YouTubers, the Twitters, everybody. Let us know what that, he was playing himself.
Well, then
he
that's not acting.
Good. No, it was damn good, Stani. And he was pumping somebody up to be the best they can be. Steph!
Let's go to our resident fact checker on all this information, Evan Giddings. What can you tell us, Evan?
Well, I can tell you, number one, not his debut on television. That was holy moly. which was also fantastic.
That's a show.
What is that on, Evan?
Get in the game.
That was on Hulu. It's like a...
I'm watching
tonight. It's a funky miniature golf show.
Yeah, it's a miniature golf competition where they have people... Steph's barely in it. He's just like in pre-recorded segments where he explains the holes.
But this was Denzel-like.
Yeah, I would pump the brakes on that. First of all, Sonny's right. He is playing himself. Yeah. Number two. I mean... He's
I,
not that funny.
Nah, he's got a dry sense of humor.
I cringed a little.
I did not. I'm like, I want the show over and I'm going to watch tonight.
It just proves that he's too good of a person. Because part of it's like trying to make fun of himself and other people. And it just seems like he's physically incapable of making someone look bad.
LeBron acted and we did the, he got a little movie.
He stunk.
No, I thought he was great. And the guy goes, Steph, but you're in the 1 percentile.
1 zillionth percentile.
With hand-eye coordination.
I'm with Evan.
I like Bron and Trainwreck. He was pretty good.
Bron was great in that, Evan. Thank you.
You know who Curry is? He's George Costanza. He's Jason Alexander.
Not okay.
What I mean by that is we can never look at Jason Alexander, the actor, as any other character than George Costanza.
Oh,
if you've ever seen him in another movie, you're like, what is going on here?
It happened. He's typecast.
Steph Curry is a basketball player and one of the nicest superstars of all time.
Dude, that was great.
He can't play a bad guy.
But he can pump you up, Steiny. Go get it. Get off that couch. Yeah.
Well, now you got me thinking about great actors.
Oh, Jim Brown.
Athletes. Yeah, actor. Jim Brown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ken Norton.
What was he in?
He was in a couple.
Marcus Johnson. Great Milwaukee Buck.
White Men Can't Jump.
He was phenomenal.
Kareem. Airplane.
Just give him the Oscar.
Well, he played himself. But yeah.
That's
well,
true. He did. He did.
But he had more
comedic timing than Curry.
Yeah, he did.
Curry was damn good on this, Steiny.
Dragon Bob Lanier up and down the court.
That was great. You till you're dead.
Who else is some guys?
Shaq.
Oh, come on.
Kobe never acted in anything, did he?
No.
Trying to think who else.
Shaq is a great one.
Yeah.
Anyway. I feel like it's kind of like coaching. The greater the player, the worse the actor.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Jerry Rice in anything. Or am I missing something?
I
did Dancing with Stars.
That's true.
Yeah. He can get down.
Yeah, I don't see Jerry Rice acting. I just don't.
Now, if he's driving and listening, it'll be like when you told Dudley V, I couldn't see you as a coach.
Ray Allen.
One of the best.
That's a good one.
And that relationship was incredible between him and Lala, man. She cheated on him.
You know, speaking of Jerry Rice, you know what? Maybe I take it back about acting. Because the other day, he was doing a pretty good job of acting like a reporter.
But that hurt me. I thought the baby was here. But you're pretty good. You act as a radio host. That's a five, Evan. On a Friday.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Oh, San Jose Jazz fan on the Xfinity Mobile text line.
Did he have this guy?
John Sally.
Oh, he's an actor, Steiny.
What's he been in?
Something recent. Not the Give It To Me. He's a villain.
Make your point. It can't be a sports talk show.
No, it's like
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. He was in Bad Boys, and he's been in Bad Boys. Bad Boys. Hey.
San Jose Jazz fan. This is gonna
hurt us.
No, it's just gonna date me. Remember Fred Dreyer, former, I believe he was a Ram football player.
Bubba Smith, too.
Yeah.
Police Academy.
Good call.
Well, in that case, Terry Crews.
He never played in the league, though.
Oh, he played for the Chargers.
Terry Crews was in the league.
Yeah, not for very long, but.
That's like The Rock played it, Did he really, Evan?
Well, there's a difference between being cut from the college team and actually making it in the NFL.
Terry Crews, I didn't know.
Jazz fan also coming up with Alex Karras.
That's like Webster. He was in Webster.
I was thinking
dad.
Blazing Saddles when he punched the horse. He knocked out a horse.
I missed that one. He did.
It was, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what. Go look that up on YouTube.
Oh,
Alex
man.
Karras dropping a horse. He dropped it. He punched the horse right in the mouth.
Kevin Garnett, Uncut Gems.
He played himself.
Mr. Hecka on YouTube chat. You do not like
no,
Garnett.
No, I don't.
Why?
I do not like Kevin Garnett.
He's a champ, a Hall of Famer.
I don't like him.
He's not a fussle guy.
Yeah. What don't you like? Like, when did you not like? Did you not like him as a player?
Everything's not war.
See?
Oh, my Everything's God. Not.
You're a guy I'll that do just anything. Watched the Pete Rose doc.
Right, and he ain't Pete Rose. It came naturally to Pete Rose. With Kevin Garnett, I don't believe it. I'm not buying it.
He got to the highest of highest.
You're talking about
a Hall of Famer and an NBA champion.
You're talking about things.
Is this possible?
You're talking about things that don't factor in to whether he's likable or not.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, Stani, is
Barry
a lot
Bonds,
of what your muster
Barry
is.
Barry Bonds is a great player,
He was a fraud.
Too. He is.
He's a champ.
There it is.
He was the anchor, and he's a Hall of Famer. That ain't fraudulent.
You're using things that
he
have
earned.
But so it has nothing to do with like or dislike. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time.
Right.
Do I like him?
Yeah. But you respect him more than you respect Garnett.
I don't even want to get into respect.
But I guess what I'm telling you is Garnett was a dog.
No, he wasn't. He kind of was, but it's an act. Like,
tell me what turned you off about him.
He was a dog who had to let everybody know he was a dog.
Draymond
and real
Green.
Dogs. I don't like Draymond either. For that reason.
Hey, we can end it then.
I think Kevin Garnett's got a little phoniness. What do you want me to say?
Study. But he was good.
We're not talking about his game.
All right.
You gotta make that distinction. You have to.
But I guess I would just with Garnett, Stani, or anybody like that, like Dre, we were at the end of the day, you respect their athletic prowess.
Not really. Sorry. I mean, I respect anybody who's ever played the pros.
Paul Pierce?
What about him?
Any phone like you respect him just
He doesn't really do it for me either. You know, it would be like if you said Ty Cobb. Do you like Ty Cobb, Goo?
Well, I hear some stories.
Well,
I don't know.
Based on what you've heard, do you like Ty?
No.
Well, Skagoo, he hit 412
well, I didn't
in 19.
We live Garnett and Pierce, that's all.
Okay, well, what about...
And Draymond was a great comp. We respect him. We don't always agree. We respect him.
Respect has nothing to do with like or dislike.
Okay, all right.
Most coaches will tell you they don't care if they're liked or hated as long as they're respected.
Now, I'll say this to what you're saying and we'll move on.
You know
I've
I'm right
Garnett
about Garnett.
Try to get in tussles and then
Thank
go
you.
Let dudes get in the way.
Thank you.
But that didn't take away from him being good at his job.
I never said he wasn't good at his job. Right. You said, why don't you like Garnett? And I gave you about three reasons.
All right.
One of the reasons I don't like Garnett isn't because he wanted, you know, because he stunk, but people think he's great. No. He's a great player.
Real quick, Stoney, what was Jim Plunkett in?
What?
Jim Plunkett never played in anything. People are putting Jim Plunkett.
Into what?
Oh, my gosh. Acting, athletes, going on the big screen or television.
I don't remember Jim Plunkett.
Neither do
being
I, and that's why I brought
actor.
Up his name. O.J. Simpson. You got to give him that.
Hey, Goo, I don't like O.J. Simpson.
But you're not the only one.
Well, I'm not the only one who doesn't like Garnett either.
Stop.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You ain't telling me you don't respect
now,
Garnett.
Now, when I say I don't like O.J. Simpson, go ahead and say, but Steiny, he ran for the electric company.
Different.
He ran for over 2,000 yards.
It was Hertz.
He was great in the Hertz commercials.
And Naked Gun.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't like him.
I got you.
Do you guys like Barry Bonds?
I love Barry.
I'm starting to come around on Barry because, I know stuff about Barry that a lot of people don't. That's why.
We can get to that in a sec. Do you guys like Greg Maddux?
Oh, love Greg Maddux.
I love both of them.
I love Maddux.
Did you guys happen to hear their conversation?
I'm going to get emotional.
I haven't.
Yeah, I have, I could hear it again.
So you got to set it up. And then
this is incredible.
Set it up because I've heard this is really fun.
Yeah, so this was a part of Greg Maddux's MLB Network special, and they basically sat down and asked Barry Bonds to dissect an at-bat against Greg Maddux. And they also had Maddux's take on it. Here's how it went.
98. I'm 60 years old. I can't remember back that far. This is when he was good.
And here comes Barry Bonds.
So, I mean, you know, first inning, it's kind of too early to pitch around somebody. So you're going to try to get him out.
Well, Bonds chased that first pitch.
Ooh, jam fastball. What was that, 92?
Pretty good cutter that beat him. I'm feeling okay about throwing that pitch.
So he's going to try to float a changeup or some of that little floater away. Because he thinks I'm going to speed up because they jammed me.
The cutter beat him, so I thought he would speed up. I threw a changeup, and he spit on it.
That's his changeup.
I mean, that's a pretty good changeup right there, and it was an easy take for him.
I didn't even try. I just knew it. And now we're playing chess. He knows he can't beat me inside.
Experience has taught me that he's probably looking in. Back then, I didn't know it.
And most of the time, I was always waiting for that 92 in back over the plate so I could catch him. And I'm just praying for it.
Bonds hits one high to right field and deep.
And there it goes. Can't come in the well twice, buddy. You just can't do it. And Greg knows, because I always have this saying, you cannot come in the penthouse without an invite.
I mean, that's a good pitch, believe it or not. It's an executed pitch, but obviously it's the wrong pitch to throw. That's one you got to put in the memory bank and try not to ever throw it right there again to him.
That was like the Oppenheimers of baseball, man. That was incredible. Evan, I'm sorry. You can't come to the penthouse without an invite. You tried it twice. Barry and Maddox, two of the best at their craft, man.
It was a really good pitch, too. I know we're just playing the audio of it, but he puts it like right on his knuckles. And Bonds,
oh, Steiny,
even then, could still turn on it.
You go, what did you whisper, Steiny? They go over every pitch. They went over every pitch.
That's fun radio.
That is just...
That's fun radio.
Man.
That's what it's all about.
That's incredible.
It's the kind of stuff, Goo, that you know nothing about. Nor do I. It's the game within a game.
I used to pitch, but go ahead. So did Evan. But wow, man, that's incredible. Give me more of that.
What about his second plate appearance? What happened?
I only did...
He didn't go in.
Probably not. Probably walked him.
That was incredible, man.
One of the reasons Bonds could catch up to that inside pitch, a big reason, is because he used such a light bat.
And he choked up. That was his choking up days.
Yeah.
We always did it, but let's just say he was less stronger then.
You know, I came up in an era where we didn't choke up. In fact, as a lefty, we put our pinky below the knob of the bat. Get you just a hair more torque.
Who's we? Just for
me and my little league teammates.
You guys were Scooter Rose before Scooter Rose?
Scooter, man.
He put his pinky below the knob.
That was incredible,
yeah,
man.
The great ones do.
I need a cigarette.
I tell you who else had a similar theory with his style, but it went unnoticed the last 5 years of his career, and it's really fascinating. The guy created unbelievable torque because he didn't grip the bat exactly like everybody else gripped the bat. He gripped it a little tighter and more. Brandon Belt.
Mm. Who was in the booth not too long ago.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Evan, do you know what I'm talking about?
They gave a tribute to that World Series team.
You know what I'm talking about with Brandon Belt?
Him choking up?
No, you know how most guys, they're holding the bat like this, and you can check me out on YouTube with my stance. I'm a lefty, just like Belt. So your hands are like this. Now he would just do this. Just a little to create more like a golf swing.
Well, so a lot of guys like Ted Williams always talked about lining up your knuckles, but it just depends on which one. You have your mid knuckle, and then Belt would sort of lock up on your top knuckle. But I always found an interesting Belt, like someone like Matt Olson does this. If you look at where they have their hands, how close they get to the plate,
yes.
Like where Matt Olson, his arms are so long that when he holds the bat out, and Belt would do this, not to the same extent. But I was always amazed at how those guys were able to get their hands from the middle of the plate and still catch a ball like the one that Bonds hit, which is right on the black or two balls inside. and still keep it fair.
Wow.
Like, a lot of guys can get to that pitch and turn on it. Like, you can turn on 95, but to keep it fair and still hit it 350 to 400 feet is a feat that I will know nothing about.
Man, science, Steiny. That was incredible, man. And that's why we talk about, we were just talking about Garnett, hearing Draymond talk about, oh, the athlete plays, talk about his sport. Now, when you know they're gifted at breaking the sport down, that's when you know you're dealing with something special. And I have to give Draymond that credit. Yeah, when he ain't going in on Gobert.
Yeah, I do too.
When he talks the game, it's like, just put it in my arms, inject it.
How many times do I have to explain this to you? Draymond Green is excellent at breaking down the game.
No, no doubt.
He deserved it.
It doesn't make him more likable.
I'm not trying to sell you on that.
Okay.
This ain't Kirby. I'm just telling you. Hey, you know what? The right-hand hitter that you described, you were talking about the lefties, Evan. You tell me if you give me a penny for this. I thought about Albert Pujols and how he held his bat and how he could get to that inside pitch.
Well, he could get anywhere. I mean, that's why they called him the machine. I mean, back in the day.
I thought it was a cat. That was Galarraga. Yeah.
Well, there also weren't a lot of guys.
That would be the big cat.
Yeah, the big cat.
Thank you.
I mean, well, Pujols,
God,
keep his hands high. Like, they always talk about getting on top of a ball that's at the top of the zone. Like, Bobby Witt hit a pitch out the other night that was like a foot above the strike zone. It went like 430 to left center. Like, Pujols could get to that pitch. He could also get to the bottom. Like, his swing is flat, which not a lot of guys have anymore. But with the velocity to, I mean.
That's a boy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I can say it a lot more simply than Evan. The greatest high fastball ever hit was hit by Pablo Sandoval off Justin Verlander.
Oh, in the World Series.
Yes.
That
was unbelievable.
But that's also because.
He caught up to it.
Well, but it's also because there aren't many guys that will swing at that pitch because that's not a pitch you're supposed to swing at. Yeah.
George Foster.
Like, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would swing at everything.
Clemente, yeah.
You better hope I don't find out that George Foster led the league in walks.
It ain't about walks, dude. He was a tall dude. Dave Winfield would swing at him.
Let's see if he's tall, too, George Foster.
I got some names I'm going to keep coming with.
I know. Here's where you just go down a list of guys that you like, but they don't really have anything to do with the subject.
It's off the cusp.
Let me see.
By the way, that wasn't even Pablo Sandoval's greatest high ball hit. You remember the one he swung at literally over his head?
I have the official list.
One of the best highball hitters ever.
George Foster was only 6'1".
Well, he looked like 6'4", 6'5".
Not really. He was 6'1".
What's your source?
Baseball Reference. Let's see. Oh, boy, did he walk.
Evan.
Holy. What an eye he had. Wouldn't see George Foster chasing that high.
Now you got Evan.
It was also a little easier to see 89 as opposed to 98.
Now I need another cigarette.
Because he didn't play with Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, you only have to face him twice a year.
It'll come back to
me. As opposed to literally every inning.
Oh, Evan, how long was that interaction? Is that like...
speaking of which, I'm glad you brought up Nolan Ryan. Sonny owes me a drink. I swore to God, you may not remember this. We're at the cafeteria.
He won't, Evan.
Well, hey, sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Everything in moderation.
We were talking about the greatest strikeout pitchers of all time. Because, like, all right, let me just ask you this, Goo. Who do you think has the highest strikeout per nine ratio in Major League Baseball history?
Dwight Gooden.
No. He currently plays, and he plays for the San Francisco Giants.
Blake Snell.
Wow.
It's Blake Snell, 11.1.
Damn.
So that got us
talking
about.
I still don't know why I owe him anything.
Yeah, go ahead. You're about to get to
it. So that got us thinking. Well, Sonny goes, Nolan Ryan. And I go, I bet you it was 9.5. It was not as high as you think. What do you think it is?
I'm going to say 8.7.
It's higher than that.
It was 9.5.
I don't remember that. He's right.
It is 9.5.
Where was Doc?
Sounds to me like
that
that's a push.
No, I told you it's 9.5.
Snell's 11.
Snell's 11.1.
Yeah, shows you what that means.
Well, no, because said he struck out a lot of guys. Also, he threw 320 innings a year.
As the kids say, because you brought up another guy I'm not crazy about. Now do this one. Do his walks per nine inning, Nolan Ryan.
Bet it was north of 6.
I would say less than that.
Look it up.
Evan, where's Roger Clemens?
I'm not looking it up. I'm doing a show.
On that per nine.
Well, I can't speak.
Roger Clemens, Donnie.
There's no way Nolan Ryan was at 6.
A lot of seasons, he walked 6 batters per nine innings.
But that's when they pitched more, though. They were pitching longer.
Thanks, Goo.
Last one. Now, Deb, like, you compare errors with the pitchers, but Snell's filthy, man. Look at you. Now you just.
Nolan Ryan, last I checked, was the all time leader in walks. He was. He is.
Oh, apologies.
Told you.
It was only 4.7.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha.
Do you see? Do you see the danger?
Oh, I know what I wanted.
Going back to 70s and 80s baseball with
me. He had five seasons where he walked six or more.
Yeah, we're talking lifetime. Because in those early Mets years, he had a little better control.
No, so I'm 1-for-2, 500. Going to the Hall.
People forget he was on the Miracle Mets.
I want to know what the, right now.
1969.
No, that was 83. Man. Where is Doc Gooden on that list? Evan, I got to believe he's high, though. He might not have beat Snell.
His best season was probably up there, but he also had a lot of mediocre seasons after he got to.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this earlier. Numbers.
Yeah.
Scores. Iconic scores. That's one thing we could do, too. Is
averages?
No, just... Oh. When you say Dwight Gooden, like I know you're saying I know his big year.
His rookie season.
Yeah, what was his record?
I don't know his
rookie season.
Second season.
I know it. You're right. It wasn't his first season.
What is it?
It was 24-4.
Now that's Stratomatic for real. If you're right, Evan. Look how he's looking
at what was his ERA?
2.45, I'm guessing.
I bet it was lower than that.
Take a runoff.
Was 1.45?
1.54.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? That's filthy.
Still not Gibson in 68.
1.12.
2.22.
See, like,
that's incredible.
That I know
that
stuff.
Where's Vita Blue's best on that, Evan?
Vita Blue won. Oh,
God.
The most wins he had in a season, Vita was... Boy, he might have had 24 one year.
And that's when they were letting you go. You had what, five innings,
ass? He might have had 24.
Man.
He had one year where it was big. It was a big number. Big number.
Yeah, it was 24. And 71.
Look at my man. Proud.
Go ahead and try to do more.
I was gonna say Tom Seaver.
Here's what I remember. 20-20.
Carlton?
Actually, I don't think he was 20-20.
They let him lose 20 games?
No, check out Wilbur Wood.
But see, I don't even know who that is. Wilbur Wood.
Only the greatest knuckleball pitcher in baseball history.
That's Necro. That's Phil.
Get in the game.
Did he ever win a Cy Young?
He paved the way for Necro. Wow.
Actually, it's R.A. Dickey.
Hey, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That segment was brought to you by Meineke Car Care Centers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.